you knew I was going to ask this question. How'd everybody do with everything that we're engaging with and listening to? We're not hearers only, but we're doers as well. We're responding to the Lord. Amen. Any saints in the house? Any saints? Come on. Is there any saint in here? Is anyone who's a beloved child? Is there anyone who's loved of God? This is what we're learning. This is what we're living in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody whose lifestyle is starting to match the life call, that's what we're trusting and believing God to do in us. Loved children are happy, satisfied, and live fulfilled lives. Do you know that's God's design for you? This is God's design for you, that He would be glorified, that the people around you would be edified, and that you would be satisfied. He said as much in John 10:10. He said, I came that you'd have life. Not just any life, but abundant life, eternal life, full and satisfying, fruitful life. It's God's design. That's what He wants for us. As one minister said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. In Him. In our humanness, it's easy to believe the deception that we can be satisfied with lesser things, with things of the natural, with things pleasuring things, with even spiritual experiences that may bring us pleasure, even in churches, but may not be satisfaction in God. He says we're supposed to find our fulfillment and satisfaction in Him. As He's glorified and other people are edified, we're satisfied. And that's His design for us. Do you want to live a happy life? Do you want to live a satisfied life? Be careful how you answer. Be careful how you answer, because the pathway to the satisfied and fulfilling life, it's not in the pleasure, it's not in comfort, it's not in all these other things that everything around you is saying you would find satisfaction and fulfillment in. So if you say you want to live the happy, blessed, satisfied life, be careful, because it might involve hardship and sacrifice. How about the beautiful eternal irony in that? That sacrifice and hardship and difficulty could yield something beautiful and something satisfying and something spiritually and eternally fulfilling. Satisfying life will involve denying yourself, not gratifying yourself. So how do we do with that this week? I trust God is leading you and that you're following Him. I trust He's leading us and building His church. Amen? Amen. So we're going to look at the book of Ephesians one more week, and we'll see how it goes today. But next week, we have our friend and an itinerant minister, Mr. Frank Leonetti, with us. For anyone who may not know, Frank and his wife, Deirdre, who recently had a beautiful baby girl, they have a ministry called Mercy Works, and the community church supports that ministry. The resources that come into the PLCC, of course, they go towards the ministry here and the expenses associated with all those things, but we don't look to just have the funds come in here. We look to give a portion of those funds and support other ministries and see how God wants to use it. So the elders prayerfully consider, Lord, what are the ministries we should support? And one of the ministries we support is this ministry of Mercy Works with Frank Leonetti. Another thing that we do is we have, if you go back one slide there, we have a compassion fund that really is for people in need, whether it's in the church or in the community. We say, Lord, how can you use us and the funds that come into this church to help people in need? And so we look for ways and opportunities to do that through compassion. And then through missions, we have five different missions that we support, and Mercy Works is one of those. So we're looking forward to hearing from Frank Leonetti next week. And for anyone who doesn't know, he has a tremendous testimony. He grew up in this church. His grandparents and parents attended this church for years. And Frank would tell you, he ran from God for a period. Has anybody here ever run from God? I certainly have, and I've experienced the hardship of that. And I've experienced the fulfillment and blessing of running to God. And Frank has run to God for about the last 15 years or so. 10 years, and so we're looking forward to hearing from him next week, but today we continue in Ephesians 5. Last week we heard this admonition from the Apostle Paul that there must not be even so much as a hint of immorality impurity or greed in the life of the saint. He said that our conversation should make room for God, and it should make no room for obscenity and carelessness towards others. He said, don't let your good words turn bad by foolish talking or being coarse with one another, with your brothers. But rather, he said, the giving of thanks. The giving of thanks. It's amazing the way in which the simple act of choosing gratitude can keep us from hurting other people, can keep us from offending a God who's holy. This simple act of choosing gratitude can spare us from pitfalls. If you want to have a consecrated heart and a consecrated mouth that glorifies God and edifies your brother, choose gratitude. If you want to overcome immoral and impure temptations, choose gratitude. And if we do, that simple act will spare us the grief of these things that Paul says the saints should avoid. Anyway, today we're going to begin reading in verse 5 of Ephesians 5. And it says this: For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Father in heaven, once again, would you grant us understanding? Once again, would you lead us into all truth through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul hits us with the magnum opus, if you will, of this chapter and maybe the book of Ephesians in verses 8 and 10 when he says, walk as children of the light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And that's the heart of this message today. We're going to look at that in just a minute, but he situates this bottom line, walk as children of the light, trying to learn. He situates it in the middle of some other contrasting assertions and directives. So let's look at some of those things that are surrounding it. First, we want to look at verse 5. It says, this you know with certainty, that no immoral, impure, or covetous man who is an idolater has or is in possession of an inheritance. The right of sonship, the right to have a portion of the inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. No immoral, impure, covetous person who's an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Paul's making a distinction here with this first assertion, and we don't like distinctions in our modern world. Did you notice this? We're not big on distinctions and telling people, someone gets this and someone doesn't get that, and here's a dividing line, and everybody over here, we don't like those distinctions in our society. We don't like them personally. We like everything to be neat and fair and commensurate and everything to be equal and all these other things, right? When I was a kid growing up, I had three brothers and two sisters, and everything had to be fair. If one sibling got a big piece of cake, then the next sibling had to have one the same size, right? The same size. It had to be fair. It had to be equal. We didn't like distinctions. Well, he's older. He gets a big... No, we didn't like distinctions. We wanted everything. There was trouble if somebody got something and somebody else didn't get everything else that they got. Anybody from big families know what I'm talking about? Or it can even be with small families. My friend Jimmy, he says he and his brother, his mom would make one of them cut the thing in half, and the other one got to choose. So he had a vested interest in that thing being perfectly balanced. Man, I don't want my brother getting any more than I have. And along comes Paul, flying in the face of our American culture. And he says, you know with certainty that no idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. No inheritance. They'll inherit some things apart from the kingdom, but they have no portion in the kingdom of God. Clear distinction right there, using the same three root words in verse 3 that we looked at last week. No, immoral, impure, greedy, same root word as covetous. None of them who is an idolater will have any part or portion in the kingdom of God. And this verse has troubled many believers, I think, over the years. It's a challenge to understand. It's easy to look at the first part, no immoral, impure, or greedy, and then look at the last part, we'll have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, but skip right over the middle part, who is an idolater, one who worships not the true God and his Christ, but false gods. I think that, coupled with the fact that many translations treat these verses differently, by the way, that's a good reason all of us as disciples, as those who are studying to show ourselves approved unto God, we should look and see, man, what does it say in the original language? What does it say in the Greek or in the Hebrew? Because then we get a fuller picture of what God is trying to communicate. The Holy Spirit of God is trying to communicate to us. And it could be easy, literally lost in translation. And you can see that with this verse translated and treated different ways with different translations, all trying to come up with the reality of what God wants us to understand. But this verse isn't referencing the true believer. This verse is referencing the unbeliever. It does not mean that if you falter in your walk or if you fall down, that you've been disinherited in God. That's not what it's saying. Doesn't mean God is done with you if you've fallen down. The scripture says if you fall, God will pick a righteous man up, though he fall. Amen? So if you fall, that doesn't mean you're an idolater. It means you've fallen. And we talked about Paul and his struggle doing some of the things he didn't want to do, right? And that happens with all of us. But this verse is concerned with the unbeliever or the idolater. But you being saints, your life should be different from theirs. So he's making the distinction, saying, listen, here's what they do and here's what they're not going to have. But you're a saint. You're a beloved child. So your life has to look different than that. Don't have any part with them and in what they're doing. Your lifestyle should match your life call. So that's the first assertion. You know this with certainty. And then he offers this directive. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And there he goes again, making some more distinctions. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And he offers this directive. You let no one deceive you. It's understood you. That's the subject. You let no one deceive you. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us into all truth. God's able to keep you from falling, the scripture says. It's up to you and me on some level, in some way, to keep ourselves from being deceived. We have the Word of God that offers the final judge between what's right and wrong. It's the Scripture. It's not me. It's not man. It's not CNN or Fox News or a politician or social media. It's the Word of God. But it's up to you and me to keep ourselves from being deceived. You hear me this morning? You get to decide what you spiritually consume. You get to listen or disregard or regard all of the words that come your way. And notice it says empty words. It's not just big fat lies that are deceptive and lead us away from God and deceive us as believers. He says empty words. Don't be deceived by empty words. There's so much empty talk and empty words coming our way from every news source and social media and the person next to us and our own flesh. And he says, you don't be deceived. Don't let you be deceived. Let no one deceive you. You have to watch out for empty words. Watch out to whom and to what you're listening. Are we being deceived? There are empty words all over the place. There are empty words coming from churches and news outlets and Christian organizations. Empty words. You don't let you be deceived. And that's why the Berean believers in Acts 17, it says they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures to see if those things that Paul and Silas were teaching, to see if they were true. You want to keep yourself from being deceived, you better examine the Scripture. It's up to the Scripture to determine, but it's up to us to keep from being deceived. And Paul says, do not be partakers with them. Once again, making a distinction, don't be partakers with them. You ever notice this? The kingdom of God is at once very inclusive and open and very distinguishing and exclusive in certain ways, all at the same time. It's amazing how God's character is reflected in the bigness of his call, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? The whole world. No one is excluded from his love. He loved the whole world so much that he gave. Amen? The same way 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. It's big. It's inclusive. How many of you know that all will not come to repentance? It's big and it's inclusive. It's as big as it needs to be for whosoever is going to come and repent, turn and come towards God. And simultaneously, it's very exclusive. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father. No man. Very exclusive. Except this one way, this one very exclusive opportunity and way, truth, and life that we have. And here again, Paul says, don't be partakers with them. Yes, you're among them. Yes, appeal to them, but be distinct from and unstained by them. Because you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You used to be that way, walking in darkness, unable to see, hurting yourself, hurting the people around you because you couldn't see. Now you have been exposed to the light. Now you can see. You were formerly darkness, but now, can you say, but now? But now you are light in the Lord. Interesting thing about light, wherever it goes, darkness flees. You are light in the Lord. You don't have to be afraid of darkness. You don't have to be afraid of the consequences or the implications of a fallen world. Wherever you go as believers, as saints, as beloved children, you used to be that way, formerly that way. Now you're walking differently because you're in the light. You are light in the Lord. And where the light is, the darkness flees. You're different. Don't be partakers with them. We don't have to fear the darkness, but we do need to be the light and shine the light. Walk as children of the light. Because of the first four chapters, everything that's been said to this point, every assertion and distinction, every directive, because of all this, now walk as children of the light. Because of his divine will, he's chosen you, so walk as children of the light. Because we've been saved, we've been raised, we've been seated with Christ, because we're beloved children, because we're saints, because we're no longer idolaters, because we were formerly in darkness, but now we're in the light. So walk, carry your life everywhere you tread, it literally means peripateo, everywhere you're treading, every step that you take, walk as children of the light. Once again, he references children. In fact, grammatically, that's what he says. Walk as children. This is what he says. At the summation of all this and everything that's led up to this point, and God's grace and God's divine selection and you responding to him and your transformation, all these things and all the inheritance that you have in Christ, now walk as children. Of the light modifies children, right? This prepositional phrase, of the light. Walk as children of the light. We can never go beyond that. Beloved children, walk confidently, trusting in the Father. The beloved child has this belief. Dad's got this. They have this confidence. Dad's got it. Dad's got it. I don't have to be afraid. Dad's got it. Oh, this, I have a need. Oh, Dad, I have a need. Okay, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm missing. I'm in danger. Dad. Dad's got this. Walk as children. Our mantra should be, Dad's got this. When the stuff comes up, when the garbage comes up, when the difficulty comes, when coronavirus happens, when markets are in turmoil, when you need the next step and you don't know what the next step is, and you're supposed to walk as children. He says, walk. It's a command. Get to it. Don't just sit there and do nothing. No, take a step. But as children, I'm saying, Dad's got this, man. I can take a step. I don't have to fear the darkness. I don't have to be concerned about those things that I used to do. No, Dad's got this. I remember my granddaughter, Harper Grace, was up here during a musical rehearsal one time. And like a child, she was curious. It's okay to be curious. It's good to have a sense of wonder. And the further we get away from those things, the further we drift from the childlike heart. And she in her childlike heart was just looking at buttons and plugs and lights and all these different things. And she happened over there by her grandfather's amplifier when it was silent, when things were quiet, when it was tranquil. So she was curious, and unfortunately for Harper, it was about to get really loud really quickly. And when you're just 2 years old or whatever, loud noises scare you if you're a child, right? Walk as children. And it did get loud really quickly, and just like a child would, she was taken by surprise. She gasped for air, and the first thing she said was, Daddy! And she ran up to his leg and tried to scurry up his leg. Somehow, Daddy's going to save me from this loud, scary thing that's just, surely it's going to just destroy me. And like a child, because she was a child, first thing she said and the first thing she did was, Dad's got this. Daddy's going to save me. Trying to get up in Daddy's lap, trying to get into Daddy's arms. And if we would only walk as children, then we too, when we're taken by surprise, when unexpected things happen, when our tranquility gets loud, life gets loud sometimes, doesn't it? In that moment, Dad said, it's okay. It's okay, Harper. It's okay. And if we walk as children, we too will run into Daddy's arms, and we too will call his name and crawl up into the Father's lap. Why? Because Dad's got this. Way more and way better than any earthly father ever could. Regardless of whether you had a great father or your father was utterly absent from your life, this father not only got this, he's got all of this. He has the whole world in his hands. The earth is the Lord's. And we can walk as children of the Father who has the whole world in his hands, because he does. Dad's got this. When life makes loud noises, Dad's got this. When your child gets sick, Dad's got this. Mike and Heather, when you don't know exactly where you're going to live next month, Dad's got this. Arlene White, when you're having your surgery, Dad's got this. Aaron Bauman, recovering from an accident, Dad's got this. Fill in the blank with your challenge and the loud noise of life that it makes. Run to your Father, because Dad's got this. Let it be your heart's cry and profession of faith. No matter what this is, the Father has it under control. We're free to walk as children. And finally, while we're walking as children, As all good children do, Paul says, trying to learn. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Walk as children trying to learn. It's translated a few different ways in different versions of the scripture, and they treat it this way. Find out what pleases the Lord. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Test and prove what pleases the Lord. Discerning what pleases the Lord. Distinguish what is pleasing to the Lord. Before you do it, whatever it is, do it in this way. Firstly, as a child whose dad has the day, and as you do it, whatever it is, carefully determine. Test and prove. Try and find out what's pleasing to God in this situation. What's pleasing to the Father in this relationship? What would please you? Let's try to test and see. What would please the Lord with my finances? Test and prove and distinguish and determine what would be pleasing to God in my expression of worship, in my household, in the words that I say. Let's try and find out what pleases the Lord. We know what pleases the flesh or what pleases other people. Man, let's try and find out what pleases God. In the garden variety, everyday trenches of life, carefully determine, test and prove, distinguish what pleases the Father who's fond of you. Let's try and find out what Dad wants. What do you want? Father, in light of all you've done for us, in light of who you are, in light of the reality that you've got this, and that you're fond of us, what would please you in our lives? We want you to be glorified. Help us to find out and carefully determine what would please you while we walk as children of the light. Can we do that this week? Walk as children of the light and try and find out what pleases the Lord. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Father in heaven, we're grateful that in the middle of life we can know that the day is yours, Lord. This is your day, and we're going to rejoice in you and be glad in it no matter what comes our way. And since the day and the challenge and indeed the world are yours, we can simply walk as children before you. Help us this day and this week to carefully determine, test and prove, and to find out what's pleasing to you in our relationships, in our workplace, Lord, in our homes, in this community church, Father. For your glory and for our good, that the people around us would be edified, that you'd be glorified, so that we could be satisfied and fulfilled in you. In Jesus' name, let it be, Father. And to him who loved us and released us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom and priests to God his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen.